At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Bruschi. I want to share with you a podcast about John Wayne Gacy that you're going to love, especially if you just watched Devil in Disguise, the John Wayne Gacy story on Peacock, or maybe you listened to or watched our interview with Patrick McManus and Michael Chernus when they were on the show last week. Bob Mata, who was with us on that interview, he created this amazing podcast around the very cassette tapes that his father, who was one of Gacy's attorneys, gave him for his birthday years ago. Bob dives into John Wayne Gacy and the story unlike anyone ever has before, and you need to check it out. It's available right now wherever you get podcasts. Search Buried Inside the John Wayne Gacy Investigation. That's Buried Inside the John Wayne Gacy Investigation. In fact, I'm going to play for you a 10-minute preview, so you can get an idea what this show is all about. Then go search it and download it. Buried Inside the John Wayne Gacy Investigation, wherever you get podcasts. Go check it out. Here's the preview.
Western suburbs of Chicago, two detectives pulled over a late model Oldsmobile that contained two men. The cops approached the vehicle and instructed the passenger, not the driver, to exit. The officer informed the passenger that he was under arrest for possession of marijuana. The man was booked and was held in custody, and a warrant was issued to search his home in unincorporated Norwood Park. As the suspect sat in wait, police effectuated the warrant on his home and entered looking for evidence, only they were not searching for drugs. The officers, in fact, were searching for the body of a 15-year-old boy named Robert Peast, who had been missing at that point for 11 days, and what they found in the crawl space of 8213 West Somerdale would send shockwaves throughout the world. That man was serial killer John Wayne Gacy. Welcome to Defense Diaries, a true crime podcast. I'm your host, Bob Mata, and this is Season 1, The Gacy Tapes. Throughout this season, I'll be playing excerpts from audio cassettes that contain about 15 hours of pretrial interviews between Gacy and his trial attorneys. But aside from a few minutes licensed to A&E for an American Justice episode, have never been heard by anyone other than his lawyers and myself. So you may be asking yourself, how in the hell did this guy get his hands on these tapes? Well, on my 21st birthday in 1990, my father gave me what I consider to be one of the strangest and most unique birthday gifts I've ever heard of anyone receiving. At some point during the party at La Mojada in Oak Park, Illinois, where it seems that all of our family celebrations were held, my dad handed me a singular gift that was about the size of a shoebox. I anxiously unwrapped the gift, only to find out that, in fact, it was an old shoebox. I can't recall exactly what I thought when I looked down at it, but at that point in my life, I'd been driving around in a rusted-out piece-of-shit AMC for about a year and a half, so I was rooting heavily for car keys. I recall looking down at the tattered old shoebox, and I noticed two words scrawled on the lid. Those two words, Gacy tapes. The sight of it took my breath away. I had no idea that he had possessed any Gacy tapes, as he had never mentioned them. I lifted the lid, and contained inside were 15 cassettes dated from February through May of 1979. Neatly stacked, all of them respectively entitled RMM Interview with Gacy. My father took me aside and explained what he had just given me, which was all of his taped interviews with his then-client infamous serial killer, John Wayne Gacy. There were interviews that took place prior to the explosive trial, while Gacy was housed at Cermak Memorial Hospital, awaiting his death penalty trial for the murders of 33 young men. He went on to tell me to hold on to them, and that one day, maybe, I could use them for something. 31 years later, the tapes still in the original box that they were given to me in are now going to be used for something. Out of necessity, despite the fact that I think it's fairly obvious considering the subject matter, I need to make a bit of a disclaimer. The material on these tapes is graphic and both sexually and violently explicit. They are also homophobic and misogynistic, so now you've been warned. The content at times is highly offensive and is not for the faint of heart. The months that followed consisted of my buddies relentlessly asking me to listen to the tapes. Finally, I caved. So we went to my apartment, I went in my room, and I grabbed the box from the top shelf in my closet. I reluctantly pulled out the first tape, dated 2979, because I didn't share my friend's morbid curiosity. What I felt was dread.
Okay, now what happened at the Greyhound station?
To the best of my knowledge, I parked on Clark Street. And then after parking on Clark Street, I got out and I was walking around. Just walking around.
I had to run in with this
guy. That was standing outside there. I just said hello to him, I guess. I don't recall the, I don't know the conversation.
Why, right, and when'd you go to that guy? Right, you know, who possessed you to go up to some guy?
I don't know if he came to me and asked me a question about where the street or what it was. I don't know how the conversation got started.
What did you do with him?
He was explaining that he had time to kill. I thought I was just fucking around. He said he had time to kill.
You remember that specifically?
Yeah, because he said something about he had missed his bus. Or he was laid over waiting for a bus until noon. What do you look like?
Well, you know, I
think about 19 or 20 years old, blonde headed. He had a thick Levi's on and a, sort of like a lumberjack jacket. Same thing.
Remember what color it was?
A large belt buckle on.
You remember what color the jacket was?
Blue and white checks or green and white checks? I don't recall.
Did he have a mustache?
No, blonde.
Was he wearing glasses?
No. Blonde headed with blue eyes.
What kind of a shirt did he have on?
I think a flannel shirt.
Do you recall?
No.
Long hair, short hair?
Short hair, something like modest hair.
What was his name?
I don't know.
What were you wearing?
I don't recall. I don't know.
What car were you driving down there?
It would have to be a green old mobile face line.
Do you remember? Is that the car you had in 1972?
No. I don't know. I think it's a green. I think, yeah, because I think I still had the first old for you that I had got since I come out of the institution.
Were you drinking before you met this guy?
I was at my aunt's house. So I had a drink there.
You think you were at your aunt's house?
Yeah.
Did you stop anywhere between your aunt's house, your house, and the bus station?
No.
What about drugs? You take any drugs?
No, not that I know.
Okay.
He said he had time to kill. I said, well, if you want to, so I'm just cruising around. If you want to ride, you can ride with me. And when we started riding around, I believe I started the conversation asking him if he ever gotten into sex or ever gotten blown or that. And would he like to get blown? He said, yeah. I said, well, you've ever been blown by a guy and didn't seem to think there was anything wrong with it.
I want to ask you something. Is there anything that you remember specifically about picking him up, the car, anything specifically that we can tie a date into?
No,
remember the car.
The only chronological order that I can give you the date from is that it had to be right after New Year's. I know.
Now remember what I told you about assumptions, John. You were in that green station wagon, right?
I think that's what kind of a car I had.
Do you remember specifically?
No.
Right now, do you remember?
No.
You remember getting out of the car and talking to this guy.
The reason why is I had several green Oldsmobiles. And I think I had one blue one, and then I went to black.
So you reconstructed.
I'm trying to reconstruct.
Do you remember specifically getting out of the car and talking to this guy?
No, because it possibly be that I was still sitting in the car and he came up to the car.
You don't remember?
I don't. I don't know.
Didn't you mention to me on a prior occasion that he had a key to a locker?
Yeah, in his pocket.
Did you remember that specifically?
Yeah, because it, that was after he was dead. It was in his pocket.
No, I don't hear the rest of the story about the guy. Start talking about sex and then what happened?
We went out to my house. He said he was hungry. Something about being hungry. That he didn't mind getting into something like that, but he was hungry. Came out to my house and I fixed him something to eat. And we sat around eating and I think we had a couple drinks.
Yeah.
This had to be around, I'd say, 2 o'clock in the morning.
So you do remember having drinks then?
Yeah, I think I drank that.
He was there with you?
Yes. Out of the house. Then we went to the rear bedroom with the green carpet, which would be the back bedroom, not the present one, which was an answer, but the red carpet.
Is the only reason you went to the bedroom, you didn't do it in the living room or somewhere else?
I don't know. We went into a bedroom where there was twin beds.
It sticks out in your mind, you remember that.
Yeah, there was twin beds in the room, because that was my room. The front bedroom was my mother's at that time. See, and she had a double bed. But we went to the room where there was twin beds. Because I'm assuming, maybe I talked because my mother might come home in the morning. And that's why we were in my bed, because he could go in one bed and I could go in the other. We both got into oral copulation. After it was over, I think I just fell off asleep.
Sleep.
Yeah, I had to. Because I was laying in bed and I woke up and I see him come in the room with a knife.
Where were you when you woke up?
In bed. My bed. The one part that's closest to the window.
Where did you have sex?
In the same bedroom. On the other bed where he was sleeping.
The other bed.
Yeah.
Now you said when
because
you
because after we had the sex, we both he lay down on the extra bed and I lay down.
What knife? Did you see the knife? What kind of knife?
From the kitchen, the knife that I had cut the sausage with.
Where was that?
Laying on a counter in the kitchen.
And he was just coming at you with that knife. Were you saying anything?
No, because I think I startled him.
Where was he when you first saw him with the knife? How close to you was he?
About 2 feet from me.
Almost right on you.
Touching you?
Yeah.
Over you on the bed?
Is it possible that you weren't waking up from a sleep, but were waking up from a stupor? That you had been conscious? But
that's possible. I don't know.
You get violent with this guy during sex and all?
No.
Is there any reason he'd come at you with a knife that you could think of?
The only thing I could think of. No. We had oral sex, and after it was over, we both were, you know, he was tired.
We were both back up asleep.
What was he wearing when he had the knife in his hand coming towards you?
I think all he had on was his Levi's.
And what did you do?
I jumped up and I wrestled with him in the bedroom. And pushed him out of the bedroom into the hall, and then from the hall into the front bedroom.
Where was the knife from?
In his hand. I was holding his one hand. I got slashed from him, and I was able to knock him down.
Where he slashed?
On the left wrist.
How were you holding him?
His
arms? Were you holding his arms?
Yeah.
As you said, the knife coming down on you. You didn't have his arm already. You grabbed it as it was.
Yeah. Well, when I fell out of bed, because I knocked him off. I wrestled him all the way into the front bedroom. There and I think while I was wrestling with him, I got stabbed, and that's what made me mad. Because I took the knife, I think I stabbed him in the chest 4 or 5 times.
How did you get the knife?
I had to knock him off balance.
And you said you have to knock him off balance. You were holding his arm, and he slashed his wrist.
Yeah, because he came down with the knife.
Well, how did you get the knife out of his hand?
Well, when he lost balance and I knocked him over, when I fell on top of him, then I removed his hand.
This was in another bedroom?
What position?
Well, my knees and his stomach and chest. Grabbed the knife from him and...
This is after you had wrestled into the other bedroom.
Yes.
Then you fell down and you were on top of him.
Yes.
Did you have clothes on then?
Did I have clothes on?
Yeah.
I think just underwear.
Did he have clothes on?
Yeah, I think he had his Levi's on. Just his pants. No shirt, no shoes or socks.
So he wasn't dressed to leave?
No. Because I think he was saying that he was sorry, he didn't mean he wasn't going to hurt me, or I don't know.
You stabbed him 4 or 5 times?
Yeah.
Did he appear to die immediately, or was he still alive? Was he breathing, or did he appear to be lifeless after the stabbing?
No, I think after the first or second stabbing, all you could hear was the guardian of blood.
So what we heard there is Gacy talking about the first young man he murdered. When I was 21 and listening with my buddies, I realized immediately that I was right and listening to the tapes had been a bad idea, as it only took one short clip to make my skin crawl. 29 years passed before I even thought of listening to them again, and that was out of necessity to create this podcast. When I listened to the tapes in their entirety a couple of years ago, I felt much differently than I did at the age of 21. I felt that they had a historic significance, albeit a horrific one, but historic nonetheless, and that keeping them packed away in that shoebox was doing a disservice to the public. I don't know that anything like these tapes have ever been heard, but based on my research, I don't think so.
That's the preview of Buried Inside the John Wayne Gacy Investigation. Our friend Bob Mata over at Defense Diaries put that together quite a while ago. You should check this thing out. It has been the impetus for a lot of reporting on Gacy. And as you even heard in our interview the other day, Michael Chernus, it was an invaluable tool for developing the Gacy character and really taking on that persona. If you want to dive into this, if you want more on the Gacy story, there is no better podcast than this from our friend Bob Mata. Buried Inside the John Wayne Gacy Investigation. Wherever you get podcasts, search it and press subscribe right now.